Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Welcome, all you Bulls fans, to another episode of the Sports Ethos Chicago Bulls coverage podcast. I am your host, Keith Quark, and I am joined, as always, by my good buddy and co-host, Trey Hill. But Trey, we have a special guest with us today, man. We are joined today by Mr. Hayes, who is the new host of the Locked On Bulls podcast and a longtime host of the Chicago Bulls Central podcast, which has really taken off, man, on YouTube, man. Hayes, thanks for joining us, man. How are you doing today, man?
I'm doing good. No complaints at all. It's been a very interesting week, but a good one nonetheless.
Yeah, man. And, good to get a couple of Bulls victories there. But, some good stuff happening. Obviously, a great season. So I'm excited to get talking to you about that, man. But before we do get started with that, I want to remind everybody to go follow at Ethos Fantasy BK on Twitter. It's the single most dominant basketball and fantasy news feed on earth. Get all your NBA news in one handy Twitter feed. It's faster than the competition and provides more analysis too. Again, that's at Ethos Fantasy BK on Twitter. Please go follow it now or my bosses will fire me. No, they actually won't, but please go do that. But Hayes, man, so you are, I think I heard, I watched your Lockdown, introduction, podcast there, and I think you said you were born in 86, which is making you the same age as me. Okay. So I'm excited to have somebody, because all these kids these days, man, they're like 22, 23, podcasts about the Chicago Bulls. You need a little bit. I wouldn't call myself an old head, but I'm a little bit older than these kids, so know a little bit more about like the Jordan Bulls and the 90s era and stuff like that. So tell me a little bit about your history covering the Bulls and when you became a Bulls fan and all that good stuff.
Since birth, my dad was born and raised on the south side of Chicago. He lived there all his life before he joined the military and moved. I've never lived in Chicago, but because he was a Chicago sports fan, I grew up with Chicago sports. Some of the earliest pictures, like of me as a newborn, him feeding me, falling half asleep while watching Bulls games on the TV. So it's literally been ingrained in my life since I can remember. And I remember, of course, I've only been conscious, like aware and into basketball myself since the second three-peat. But been a Bulls fan my whole life.
Yeah, I say the same thing, man. I'm like, hey, I'm a fan since the second three-peat because like I said, we're same age. So you really weren't like aware of basketball in the first three-peat. You didn't really know. But man, I grew up like, we didn't have cable TV, so I grew up like listening to Chuck Swirsky on the radio and Neil Funk on the radio and stuff like that. And so like, was that how you really got to ingest those games, or did you like watch them on TV a lot, or what do you remember of the Jordan era?
So interesting enough, I grew up overseas. My dad was in the military, so we lived in Germany, Italy, a lot of that whole second three-peat era. So me and my dad used to have to stay up to 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning to watch Bulls games. So we had a satellite dish, like the old school that took up the whole backyard satellite dishes so we can watch Bulls games. And we would watch them at like 2 o'clock and 3 o'clock in the morning. And he would let me because that was our bonding time. I have six sisters. I'm the only boy. So me and my dad's thing was always sports. From that age of staying up that late to watching, and of course at that time it was more I just wanted to do something with my dad. That's my memories, like literally staying up to 1 and 2 o'clock in the morning to watch the Bulls play basketball.
That is that is some commitment, man. I don't know if I could even do that. Man, there's some of these late start games, man. It like starts at 9 o'clock at night at Central Time, and I'm like, falling asleep, and it's like halftime, man. So
like this week, tomorrow, matter of fact, it's gonna be interesting.
Yeah, these late starts are rough, man. So that's awesome, man. So you said you're not in the Chicago area. So right now, are you in the Chicago area, or are you abroad? Where are you located right now?
Right now, I live in Columbus, Ohio.
Okay. Yeah. So you don't make it to too many Bulls games in real life, or do you make that trek to go do that?
Oh, I try to go to Chicago at least a couple of times. Before this year, before COVID, really, I would go to at least one or two Bulls games a year, but I would fluctuate between going to in Chicago. And then I would also, DC is one of my favorite cities, so I would try to go anytime that they face the Wizards as well to catch the Bulls. So.
Yeah, you know what? I actually lived in Virginia for about like 4 or 5 months, and we made that trek up to DC. Man, that is a great area, man. I was actually covering the Wizards for FanSided a couple of years ago, and I do like some Wizards basketball actually. But yeah, that area is awesome, man. I do like that a lot, especially all those museums you get to go to for free and stuff like that. So
for sure.
It's a lot of fun, man. So let me ask you something though, Hayes. You did say on Locked On that on your Bulls Mount Rushmore, you're putting you got Michael, Scottie, you got Joakim, and you got Derrick Rose. Joakim over Dennis Rodman, man. Are you serious? Like, and let me ask you about that. So tell me a little bit more about that, man.
A, he was with the Bulls longer. Uh-huh. B, and it's my personal Mount Rushmore.
Yeah, sure.
Joakim was the first Bull that I've got to see their career with the Bulls from start to finish, really, when you think about it. And then the place that I started with Joakim is that I hated when the Bulls – like, I literally called my dad, and we were both going off about that draft pick. And by the end of that season, he was one of my favorite Bulls. So to go that far in the heart that he had, that he played with – and Joakim wasn't always the most skilled player, but you knew he was going to do something every single game. And for that, yes, he's above Rodman to me.
I didn't realize that was such a controversial take.
Well, I
realize they're close, but I mean, we saw how much Noah sacrificed whenever he was able to be kind of the dominant guy. He finished what, fourth in MVP voting, I think. Yeah. Like, if he was able to be the number one guy, he took the back seat to Derrick Rose, and obviously he was going to do that because Rose was that talented. But Noah sacrificed a lot for the team that I don't think he gets enough credit for. So I don't think the take's that crazy. I mean, Rodman helped us get 3 championships, but I mean, overall, I think Noah was the better player.
And Noah won a DPOY. I mean, you know, hey, look, it's not that controversial, but I don't know. For me, I don't know if I'd put Rodman above Noah. I guess ultimately I'd have to think about it a little bit more, but I think there is a little bit of an argument to be made there.
Is it the grumpy old man coming out?
Well, it is. You know me, Trey. That's just who I am. So of course it is. But no, man, But I love the way that Dennis Rodman played, man. Obviously, you know, I love those Bad Boy Pistons. I love just the grit that guy played with. But when we talk about Joakim Noah, man, there is no denying that he was the heart and soul of those, you know, Chicago Bulls teams, even though Derrick Rose was obviously the best player on the court when he was healthy. So I do have a question for you, Hayes, man. If you're looking at this current team right now, who is the Joakim Noah? Who's the heart and soul of this Chicago Bulls team?
I think you have to say Alex Caruso, right? I think almost have to say that.
I like that answer, and we're going to talk about it a little bit more later. I mean, what do you think, Trey?
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Yeah, especially after just seeing the difference last night when he came back, the intensity level. Not that he just played with, but he kind of raised the intensity level all around. So
yeah.
I think he brings that out in other players. And I even mentioned that earlier in the season with Lonzo. It seemed like when Lonzo was playing without Caruso on the floor, he just wasn't quite as aggressive to me.
Yeah, and you know, you've seen like Caruso over there on the sidelines, like coaching people up and stuff like that. I want to say it's more of like a committee approach to that kind of role on this team. I mean, I see a lot of leadership, obviously, out of DeMar DeRozan, too. So I don't think you can really cut that short, because you see the way that Ayo Dosunmu has really, you know, developed his mid-range game. You see it on the court more so with DeMar DeRozan, I think. But when you're talking about, like you guys are talking about here, where it's like, you know, you got a guy clapping on the bench, really in your corner, I do think you guys are right where it's Alex Caruso there that is that leader. So just an interesting question, I thought. So, hey, You do make it up a few times, Hayes, every year. But tell me, what is your favorite, like, memory from an actual game that you've been to in person?
It was, surprisingly enough, it was a preseason game. I was living in St. Louis at the time, and the Bulls happened to have a preseason game in St. Louis. And it was actually Derrick Rose's first time playing since his ACL injury. And for me, that's always going to be a memory of seeing the Bulls live, because I was courtside and just seeing Derrick Rose back on the court, moving the way that he was after such a long time of being out. And I was with my son, my oldest son, Xavier. It's always going to be a special time. Outside of that, because that's just like a personal preseason moment, I went to a game, and I can't remember. I think it was against Houston, and I think Derrick Rose's rookie season, and he just went. It was like one of his first times going off, and he shot like two threes back to back, and we were down, and he just took over the game down the stretch. And it was just like, hey, this is the game that showed you this guy is going to be a star. Mm-hmm. And so that's always going to be a special memory for me as well.
Trey, I don't know if I've ever asked you that question, man. Let me throw it to you, man. What's your favorite memory from being like in the stadium or even just watching on TV, I guess?
I got to go watch Derrick Rose play in Indianapolis during his MVP season. So that one's just kind of my favorite. I've only been to see them a handful of times, but that season in particular, I think I only missed one game the whole season. It was the first time I'd ever really gotten to watch every single game pretty much. And so that season and that game, that's just kind of, that's it for me.
I'll tell you guys, man, the Bulls continue to suck every time. I went to the Indiana Pacers game this year where they lost by like 40 points or whatever it was, man. I don't know what it is. I should just stop going to games, but man, they're just bad. So actually my favorite memory from a Bulls game is actually the opposing player. I got to watch Nikola Jokic drop his like second or third triple-double of his career against Chicago Bulls. I think that was like 2016, 17, 17, 18, somewhere in there. But man, that was impressive. I didn't even know who this guy was. I was like, look at this big old white European dude going lumbering up and down the court. I'm like, this dude can't play really. And then he drops a triple-double on our heads and we lost the game, of course. So that's my best memory. But I do ask everybody, Hayes, when they come on the show, I put everyone kind of through the ring or just kind of give their history of their fandom. But I do ask everybody this question. It's a little bit of a downer, so do forgive me. But where were you when Derrick Rose tore his ACL?
I was sitting at home. We were living in St. Louis, Missouri. I was watching the game, and I remember that season because the Bulls were a better team than the season before when Derrick Rose won the MVP. And it really felt like if the Bulls were going to be able to make it to the finals, it was going to be that year. And when that injury happened, like, I was in denial. I went through every stage of grief. At first, I was in denial. I was like, oh, we'll get a report in the morning that it's not as bad. Maybe he'll miss the rest of the series. He'll be back finally, I think it was the next day when they officially confirmed that it was a torn ACL. And it was just, I was sitting on my couch and I think I just stood there for a minute in complete and utter disbelief. And yeah, it was one of the most traumatizing moments as a fan ever.
Yeah, it was, I'll never forget it, man. It was just so awful. I love that kid, man. I love Derrick Rose. Yeah. I got to watch him in high school play. I did live in the city around that time when he was playing, basketball, and I got to watch him play in high school and stuff. So just love watching him play for the Bulls. Was so happy that the Bulls got him, man, but just so devastating when that happened. It just derailed everything the Bulls did for years. Yeah. It was really hard for us to get back from that. But let me change the subject here a little bit. Let me ask you a little something here, Hayes. Got a little bit of a back and forth going with Mr. Joe Cowley of the Chicago Sun-Times. So let me have you give me your side of the story here about that.
So we've gotten into two different back and forths at this point. The initial one was he tweeted something. I can't remember exactly what it was, but I was just like,
I can tell you what it was.
It was like what did he tweet? I remember what I said, but I don't remember.
Was it this one right here? Imagine being this gullible and baited. Lockdown Bulls is already slipping since the varsity players left and JV took over.
That's what it was. And because I think Joe Cowley is so disconnected from the current Bulls fan base that that him saying that, I think he didn't realize that my base before I even joined Locked On Bulls was bigger than Locked On Bulls. right? That's how I got on their radar. Like, I literally built a channel in 5 months to pass, you know, a lot of other people. And that's not, I don't say that to brag, but then to say that that's JV. And then Pat the Designer, who's my co-host on the podcast, he has an even bigger platform than me. He has like 15,000 subscribers at this point. And for him to call us JV and to take it that personal, that's why it was like, okay, hold up, JoJo. Because I got something to say. And so that's what it was. Because you can have a disagreement about, you know, Bulls and all that. That comes with the territory of discussing the Bulls on social media. But for him to be so disconnected and to speak from a place of just not knowing, and I don't act like I have any cachet or my name should be like on the tongue of everybody that they should just know who Hayes is, because they don't. And I don't have an ego when it comes to that. But to say that it's JV and we both come in with bigger platforms than what Locked On Bulls was, it was just like, all right, Joe, you got to hold this L real quick. And I think with the responses that the fan base was almost more than anything, I responded to him to see how the fan base of the Bulls were like, no, we've been listening to Hayes and Pat for a while. It just made me smile because it's like, come on, man.
Yeah, Joe.
When he doesn't like you, that's like a badge of honor amongst people who really know what's going on. Like,
I was
that's
about to
just,
say, when you find yourself on the opposite side of Joe Cowley on Twitter, you are on the right side of history, my friend. So, Joe Cowley just sucks, man. I don't think there's ever been a take that he's had. Like, there's some stuff that he posts that's like, you know, okay, cool, like it's informative. Yeah. But for the most part, man, he's just like, he's like a troll on Twitter. It's terrible, man. So
it's amazing for reporter with a god complex to really not be as respected as what he thinks he is. Like, he literally thinks that, and he said it, he's like, you guys wouldn't have content if it wasn't for me. Hey, first of all, Joe, Casey Johnson is way better than anything you've ever put out. But, you know, save that for another day.
He's an entire gatekeeper, man, this Joe Cowley fella. And there's no reason, like, there's absolutely no reason, because there's tons of great Bulls content out there. Hayes has been doing a great job. You're one of the rising stars in the Bulls community as far as, like, social media and Bulls coverage goes, man. So he just doesn't know. But yeah, Trey, you got any other thoughts about Mr. Joe Cowley over there?
Oh, no, you know, I have a distaste for him. Excellent job, though, kissing. But I thought I was worried I was going to fanboy a little too much, but you did an even better job than I did.
I took it out. Bravo. I took it out. It's all right. I took the shot there. No worries. So let's move on, though. Let's talk about some Zach LaVine here. So Zach LaVine, obviously, expiring contract, up for extension this offseason. I know Trey and I have gone back and forth on this show, and, you know, we both pretty much said 100 times at this point that he is well worth the max. So I think we both stand there. But Hayes, give us your thoughts there, man. You know, is this a guy you're going to max out this coming offseason?
So the only thing that concerns me is the knee. You hear the rumors that he may get offseason knee surgery, even though they say everything's structurally fine with the knee. I guess that remains to be seen. But I definitely think he deserves the max. Now, do the Bulls lace it in kind of like they did with Lonzo's contract of putting in a lot of incentives that are based on health and how many games you play? Do they do that type of thing? Does Zach even go for that? But I definitely think Zach has more than deserved the max, considering everything he's been through with the coaching changes and almost dealing with Boylan and enough makes you deserve the max to me. So yeah, Zach LaVine has deserved the max. I'm not saying he's a perfect player, but he definitely deserves the max for this team.
So according to NBC Sports Chicago, if LaVine makes a 2022 All-NBA team, which it looks like, I mean, I think he probably will. You know, one of them, first, second, third, I don't know which, but I think he probably will. But he's going to be eligible then for a Supermax contract. That's going to be a starting salary of 35% of the salary cap, which would be about $42.4 million for that first season, obviously. And then that's using a $121 million projection for the 2022-23 season. Mm-hmm. And then if he doesn't do that, he's eligible for that max, obviously, which would just be $213 million over 5 years. So just a whole boatload of money. Trey, I know, like you said, you know, you've been saying this guy's worth the, you know, max, but does that need concern you as much?
I mean, of course it concerns me, but in terms of the contract, we love what AK and Eversley have built here. They aren't able to build that if they don't have Zach to bring in the talent around. And this team is, with DeMar playing, you know, the talent that he has, we didn't expect this coming in. Vucevic, he's getting older. We want this team to contend for, you know, the next 3 or 4 years. We see the chemistry they have. To me, I wouldn't even rock the boat with trying to haggle over the games played and things like that. I just try and keep him happy, keep everything running smooth. And because he is, I know DeMar's the number one guy now, but Zach is the guy who brought it all together.
Yeah. Go ahead, A's. You got something to say?
No, I agree with that. Like, we don't have these players if it isn't for Zach LaVine, period.
Yeah, people want to play with him, man. And I know Billy Donovan's been talking about, like, how he's just, like, the perfect, you know, star player, because he just, like, he's willing to give up the spotlight. He's willing to give up the shots to DeMar. He's willing just to play the role he needs to play. He's only 27 years old, fellas. So, you know, just the future is bright for this guy. We may not have even seen the best Zach LaVine years yet. You know, is that knee a concern? Yeah, absolutely, man. It is. He's had the surgery already. You know, he's an explosive player. We've seen explosive players before. Look at Derrick Rose. We've talked about him. What happened after he tore his ACL? But obviously that didn't happen to Zach. Zach's come back stronger, played better. He's been more efficient from the field. This season is the second highest field goal percentage of his career, second highest 3-point percentage. And those guys, and these are just compared to last year, because last year was his best season by far. This is his highest free throw percentage of his career, second highest in rebounds, second highest in assists. Now the downside here, and I think this is where, even more so than the knee for me, this is where you can make the case. Now, I've already said I think he's worth the max, but this is where you can make the case where I think you have some reservations about giving this guy the max. On the defensive side, fellas, man, I don't know if there's a guy on the team that has more maxes than Zach LaVine. What do you think about that, Ace?
I don't know. We Tony Bradley is on the team.
okay, fair.
are we sure he's still actually on the roster?
I don't know. He's MIA. But go ahead.
I will say this. Zach has improved on the defensive end of the ball. And what we see, and this is why roster construction is important, because when he's playing out there with Lonzo, the way that Lonzo communicates, it makes Zach LaVine a better off the ball and on the ball defender. But yes, Zach LaVine's defense is always going to be the thing. And some of his turnovers sometimes, right? When he's forced to do some of that ball handling, those turnovers do frustrate me. Like, he's not a perfect player. The defense is an issue. And then I also will say one thing that I need to see from Zach LaVine as well is him not letting the refs frustrate him so much. There are times where the refs frustrate Zach LaVine and he gets completely out of his game. And then it becomes more about trying to force them to make a call than making the smart basketball decisions. That's just me giving an honest critique on Zach LaVine. But the thing that we've seen with him is that I trust that Zach LaVine is going to continue to strive. He may not ever be a lockdown defender, but I do think he's going to make enough to where he's solid enough defensively that it's not as bad as what, I mean, even if you look at what it was from when he first got here to now, it's a considerable change, right? Mm-hmm. Still not where we need it to be, but he's made strides. So
yeah,
maybe in the Steph Curry vein, where he was considered a poor defender, but when you surround him with a Draymond, a Clay, if you have the good defenders around him, so if you give Lonzo, Caruso, you know, to Zach and give them that communication, maybe he can go from a bad defender to something that's capable.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely, man. And yeah, look, I agree, Hayes. You know, he is a lot better than when he started. And Trey knows, you know, defensive side of the ball is something I pay a lot of attention to, just because, you know, that was drilled into me from a young age when I played basketball. It's like, dude, you got to play defense because you can't score. So, you know, that's kind of what I like to watch. But no, it does concern me a little bit. And I think the other thing that concerns me is what Hayes talked about there was, you know, Zach LaVine in the crunch time. And that's why they went out and got DeMar DeRozan. So here's my question for you, Trey. I'm gonna shoot this to you first. I think Zach LaVine's always going to need a DeMar DeRozan type, because he really does struggle when you ask him to perform in the clutch. He has key turnovers. He has inabilities to score. He takes bad shots sometimes. I think he's always going to need a DeMar DeRozan. So is that a guy that you give a max contract to? Mm-hmm.
I think he's going to learn from DeMar DeRozan. I think, like you said, he's only 27. It's not like he's been in the league forever. And this is the first time he's really had a quality team around him. And he's not the number one guy down the stretch. So I think if he maybe had a season where he was the number one guy on a team like this, we might see his reps, you know, be a little bit better, especially, you know, I talk about the, you know, the connective playmaking from Caruso and Lonzo all the time. But if he was out there with those two and they were able to kind of help him alleviate up with the playmaking, I think he can make strides on that end. And I think that's something that can come.
What do you think, Hayes?
Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, Zach, like I said, roster construction is a thing, and he may be somebody that always needs a 1A, 1B next to him. But I do trust Zach's ability. And keep in mind, too, I think people forget that before the thumb, the knee, and the back, that Zach LaVine was his efficiency numbers were right up there with DeMar's. He wasn't doing the fourth quarter thing, but his efficiency numbers were amazing. So I think there is that in Zach LaVine. And, you know, we'll see. But, you know, needing somebody who can also score with you, I mean, we all the best teams in the league have that, right? So yeah. I don't necessarily hold that against him.
There's a reason Durant wanted to play with Kyrie.
Exactly. And so I don't necessarily see that as a negative on Zach, because we're outside of the time of it taking only one player to really get you in the championship contention. I mean, look at LeBron. Everywhere he goes, he has to bring another star with him. So I'm not going to hold that against Zach LaVine per se. But I will say that I do want to see Zach at some point become more of a leader. While he is our best player at times, I don't really see leadership qualities in Zach LaVine. And that sometimes worries me more so than anything else.
Yeah, I agree with that, Hayes. And, you know, we really need him to go. I know I said this during our All-Star break shows here, but we really need him to go on a tear here to close out this season, man. We need to win some of these games here. So I'd love to see him go off for, you know, 30, 35 multiple nights in a row, something like that. Just something where he goes on a stretch where DeMar DeRozan doesn't have to carry the team as much. A couple guys, though, I did look up some contracts here. A couple guys, if he does get that max deal, he'd be making more than these guys. Paul George. Zach has more, and I looked actually at their season when they were 26 years old. So this is compared to their 26-year-old season.
Okay.
So Paul George, Zach has more assists, more points, slightly better percentages, except for free throw percentages than Paul George in his year 26 season. He'd be making more than Klay Thompson. He has more points, assists, rebounds, and worse percentages from three-point free throw. Jimmy Butler, more points, better percentages all around than Jimmy Butler. Chris Middleton. In more points, assists, and better percentages, except for free throw percentages, than Chris Middleton. So Chris Middleton, Jimmy Butler, Klay Thompson, Paul George. You'd be making more money than those guys. I think of those guys, I don't know. I might take Paul George over Zach LaVine if he's a healthy Paul George, obviously, because that is a really killer two-way player, though. But I think other than that, I think Zach is better than those other three on that list. What do you think, Hayes?
Yeah, I agree. I agree. And the thing is that You feel in Zach, right, that there's still so much room for him to still grow. And that may sound crazy for a player in their eighth year in the NBA. But, yeah, I really do think that I take Zach over those players.
Yeah. What about you, Trey?
Yeah, you know how much I love Zach. I'm taking him over all of them. But, like you said, Paul George he's a tough one to – I think Paul George is the only one I still have higher.
He's so because
of the two-way.
Yeah, he's a two-way player. He's just so underrated. I think he nets you so many wins. But speaking of Zach LaVine outperforming and doing better than usual, we have a brand new daily fantasy partner where you can bet on Zach LaVine at Sports Ethos. It's Thrive Fantasy. Prop up with Thrive Fantasy on their mobile app or at thrivefantasy.com. Use code ETHOS when you sign up to get 100% deposit match bonus on your first deposit, up to $100 plus either two or four free game tickets to play. Pick player props on the biggest names playing every night. Score points when your props hit, and the players with the most points win a share of the night. Prize money, and check out our Sports Ethos DFS or podcast for advice on winners. That includes me, your guy Keith. Again, that code is ethos over at thrivefantasy.com. Go get it now, man. It's good stuff. So let's move on, guys. Though, let's talk a little bit about Alex Caruso. Obviously, he had his little triumphant return here in the last game, and I don't know. The Bulls held the Cavs to 91. I know, Trey, I know you and I talked about this, so you can, you know, be quiet. I'm going to ask Hayes. Trey, how much of Alex Caruso's presence really helped the Bulls, or was it really just the Cavs being tired on the second half of back-to-back?
You meant to ask Hayes that, right?
Did you say I did mean to ask Hayes that. Man, if you could listen, I asked Hayes that, okay?
I think the Caruso's energy and what he brings is so important, not even from just how he plays. Like, you see that now, right? Is you see that what the energy that he provides, the communication that he provides, the transition buckets that he provides in getting in the passing lanes, all that is highly important. So Alex Caruso's impact on this team, I think I underestimated it as well, because it's been so long since we saw it, right? He came back, he played a couple of games for us after being out, came back, played a couple of games, and went out again. But Alex Caruso is just so huge for this team, and the energy that he provides. I see what people call him the GOAT, because it's one of those things that it's hard to always be tangible, right? If he gets a bunch of steals, it's easy to say, oh, well, look at what he did with the steals number. But he's always going to give you something that may not even show up on the stat sheet, and it changes, especially when you have so many unproven players on the bench as well. And now having him and Tristan, man, I'm really excited to see what this team does going forward.
And, you know, I did sleep on Alex Caruso a little bit. You know, Lakers fans and Knicks fans, whenever they say something on Twitter or whatever, it's like you kind of like look at it.
You got to block it out.
Yeah, it's like, dude, I can't even, because I slept on Alex Caruso entirely because it came from Lakers fans, man. So I was like, they can't be telling the truth. But once I saw him actually play, I was like, man, this guy's incredible. Okay, Alex Caruso fanboy. Tell me, go ahead and tell me your side of the story. Was that all Alex Caruso in that 91-point effort there for the Bulls?
I mean, not all, but a lot. I think that matters. Like, and you know, I like to look at the advanced sort of things. The Bulls added 9.7 points per 100 possessions in transition alone. That's 94th percentile for the league average. They added 6.4 points per 100 possession off of steals, and that's all because of Caruso. His steal percentage last night was in the 98th percentile. So like, he was just a huge factor whenever you look at the advanced sort of thing.
Did you see that Caruso said that actually Io did a better job on Darius Garland than he did, and that he was like a little bit winded in the fourth quarter? What did you think about that? Did you see that, those comments?
That's because he knew he was owning the moment and he was sharing that moment with Io.
It is. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say that's because the chemistry on this team is so great. Like, we saw, I don't know if you guys saw in the interview after the game where Caruso was doing the interview and the guys came over and were just talking to him and he dropped a shit on live TV. but yeah, like I just love the team. And I love the chemistry with all these guys.
Yeah, we love to see Patrick Williams over there on the sidelines wearing a Caruso jersey and Absolutely. The guys return. And we love to see, you know, Javonte Green wearing the headband. I mean, these guys, you know, they show up for their boy, obviously. They have a lot of respect for him. So not only do we see the things as fans of the game and watching these games, but I think that the players on the team have a lot of respect for him, too. But, you know, what else does this guy bring besides just the defense here? Trey, I know you've mentioned this before, but as a connective playmaker, I think you call it. You know, what does he bring on the offensive side?
Well, Hayes mentioned the transition. He gets things going. Even if he doesn't get the steal, he's just always looking to push the pace. And he adds that whenever DeMar or Zach, if they draw the double, as soon as he gets the ball, he's making a decision. And he really takes advantage of when they bend the defense, he's able to kind of break it down completely. So that matters, because if you can't take advantage whenever they double DeMar, they're just going to keep sending those doubles over and over. And come playoff time, when it really ramps up, you have to have a counter to those things.
So does Caruso change the calculus for this team, Hayes? Does he really like add enough for this team that we don't need to worry as much about our point of attack defense? I mean, is this like our savior right here, or do we need Lonzo Ball? Do we need Patrick Williams to come back to truly, you know, bring our defense to where it needs to be?
I think to bring it to its optimal, you need all three, right? But Alex Caruso does do enough to where you can see it making a considerable change, especially because the Bulls' offense is almost always scored enough typically to win them games. It's needing somebody to make the correct defensive stops at times, right? Because we don't have the best scorers coming off the bench, especially, you know, when Kobe's being inconsistent, how do you get now for better and easier bench scoring? Is that the way he plays the transition lanes and gets turnovers? Those things make the team instantly better as far as the defensive end to help with the offense that we're able to score. But when you add Lonzo on top of that, Lonzo's versatility, Lonzo can switch anywhere from one to on some fours and play solid defense. So when you have two players who can do that defensively and you don't have the best defensive team, the one-on-one defenders, it changes things dramatically for a team. And then if we can get Patrick Williams back playing the defense he did last season for us, listen, that the Bulls defense, then we saw it. The healthiest that this team was, the Bulls were ranked fifth in defense. Mm-hmm. When you match a high-powered offense with a defense that can rank that high, and I know some fans and some people have said, well, the Bulls weren't facing the best competition when we were ranked that high. Okay, let's say the Bulls even fall down to 10 to 12. If you have an offense that can give you 120 points almost any night and a defense ranked in the top 15, that's almost enough to get past, to give you a chance against any team.
Yeah, you're right, man. And to your point, Hayes, through December 20th, from the start of the season through December 20th, the Bulls were ranked 11th in defensive rating. So right in that 10 to 12 sweet spot you're talking about. Mm-hmm. And that coincides with Caruso going down. Caruso got injured that next day. And then Lonzo went into the health and safety protocols. And, of course, he came back for like 7-8 games. And then he went and got injured himself. But they were 11th in defensive rating. And then from the 21st onward until now, they've been 23rd in defensive rating. So they went from a top third team in defense to a bottom third team in defense, and probably, honestly, on most nights, one of the worst teams on defense, which is something that I like to watch. So it's been a struggle to watch these games as somebody that watches defense, because I'm constantly seeing mistakes and issues that just you can't solve them unless you get these guys back. Because we, like you said, we see Caruso, we see Lonzo Ball switching 1 through 4, and that helps so much. And obviously Patrick Williams 1 through 5, even he can just guard anybody on the court. Patrick Williams is guarding Zion Williamson. We even saw Lonzo Ball guard some Zion Williamson early in the year. So and some Julius Randle, and it's just crazy to me. So we're missing so much on that defensive side without those three guys, but I think Alex Caruso does help quite a lot, especially that point of attack defense. So let's move on, though. Let's talk about the Bulls head coach here, Mr. Billy Donovan. And Trey, you haven't spoken a little bit here. Bulls got a chance at a 50-win season here, man. I mean, call it what it is. They're having a great season. I know you gave me your grade already for Coach Billy Donovan, but have you had any additional thoughts here about, what his strengths and weaknesses are as a head coach, how he's handled all this?
I mean, if you remember what my grade is, good for you, because I certainly don't. I imagine it was a positive one, though.
It was good. It's probably better than mine.
I think given all of the juggling he's had to do and the personnel he's had at his disposal, he's done just about everything you could ask for out of this team. And you can't ask for much more than that. The chemistry's still been there, even though they've been, bitten by the injury bug all season. So what if you wanted me to give him a grade, what, B+, A-? I think he's been great.
That was probably what you gave him, honestly. I think I gave him a B- in our little all-star break there. I've got my concerns, man, but let Hayes give his 2 cents here. What do you think about Mr. Coach Billy Donovan here in the first three quarters of the season here? We're definitely through 3 quarters, right? But anyways, what do you think of him, Hayes? What grade would you give him, A through F?
I give him a solid B minus. And I think the adjustments, being slow to make adjustments, getting killed. I had a whole episode where I think I said pick and roll. I think they counted it was like 80 times. It was like you to get murdered by a simple pick and roll. Like I can't give you an A when you when you do that, if you didn't make the proper adjustments. And I think the one thing with Billy Donovan, well, the two things that are most problematic to me is the slowness to make adjustments, because as we know, the playoffs become all about a chess game of who can make the correct adjustments at the correct time. So that does concern me. And then as well as how the offense stagnates sometimes. And I know a lot of Bulls fans will say iso ball. And that is an issue. But also when you look at it, he doesn't try to go to the hot hand. There was a game when Kobe White was 3 for 4 from 3-pointers and we needed a 3 and he was wide open in the corner, but yet we ran a mid-range play for DeMar DeRozan. Doesn't make any sense to me when you consider everything in that game. Now, ball movement also has been an issue sometimes. Now, I don't know if that's a design of the system or the players just aren't doing what they're supposed to do. But those things are the most concerning to me. And mainly because when I look at this team, I'm looking at it as what happens in the playoffs. And because of that game of adjustments that the playoffs become, it really does make me concerned on what about when he faces Eric Spoelstra in the playoffs, and that's one of the best coaches ever, right? And what does that happen? How does that go down with the adjustment? So solid B minus to me.
Yeah, I gave him a B minus All Star break. I have a lot of the same concerns you do, Hayes. Man, it's I think it was the Dallas Mavericks and the San Antonio Spurs that were like within a week period that they just tore us apart with the pick and roll. So that was probably when your episode dropped, because I know Kleba went off for like 8 of 9 from 3-pointers or something like that. It was something ridiculous. I can't remember exactly what was off the top of my head. But the thing that ticks me off, and I've talked to this about Trey quite a few times, is that whether or not you have the personnel to do it, I would like to see you try new things. Once, a team runs something like that 3, 4, 5 times in a row, it's like you have to know it's coming, right? And the Bulls are slow to react and slow to adapt and slow to change what they're doing. It's a little bit predictable what the Bulls do on a night-to-night basis. So like you said, Hayes, that doesn't concern me now in the regular season, but as we get into the postseason, when those game-to-game adjustments really do matter, that's really going to be an issue to me. And this is a guy, Trey, I'm going to kick this to you, man, a guy that had Kevin Durant, a young and athletic Russell Westbrook, James Harden, and couldn't, you know, win a championship. I mean, obviously winning a championship, that's like one of 30 teams. It's not,
was he the coach that got them to the finals?
Yes, he was.
I feel like if you'd have let him keep Harden, I think he probably would have got there. To me, I don't think you can put that on Billy Donovan not winning a title with those three, because they were so young and he got them to the finals. And when you run into that Heat team with LeBron, young, you know, still not, you know, just past his prime, Dwayne Wade, and Chris Bosh buying completely into being that third wheel and doing all of the little things needed to do to win a championship, I don't think you can hold that against him. But those other things you guys brought up, you can definitely hold against him. And I'm a little more forgiving than you guys just because I miss the point of attack defense from Caruso and Lonzo so much. And I feel like just so many of the problems we've seen throughout this time without them will be fixed just by adding them back in. But that doesn't excuse Billy Donovan not trying to, you know, stop the bleeding while we were bleeding.
Yeah, and you know, and like I said, hey, I opened this by saying, hey, we've got a chance at a 51 season here. The Bulls are sitting on 41 wins. I think that's their first 40-win season since 2016-17, something like that. Chance at 50 wins, if they had a 50-win season, that's the first since 2014-15. Mm-hmm. And the one before that was 2011-12. So, you know, it doesn't happen often. If that does happen, that's a very successful season. There's no way you can say Billy Donovan is a less-than-average coach. But, you know – Like we've been saying, man, it's just stuff that we're seeing that is just a little bit concerning here. But the thing is, like Trey said there, you can't really give him a complete grade here because he's had so many people out. And I'm sure he's had, you know, a defensive plan and an offensive plan that includes Alex Caruso, Patrick Williams, Lonzo Ball. For sure Lonzo Ball. For sure Alex Caruso and Patrick Williams. I mean, like, there's no way that those guys wouldn't be included because those are three of your top, you know, 7-8 players. So, you know, Hayes, can you really give him a full judgment here? I mean, is it something where, you know, if he has those ingredients that he's been missing, like Trey says, he has an even more success?
Well, I think some of the things that, as far as the adjustments, that's regardless of who you have on. Now it makes it easier to make some adjustments, right, with the personnel. And how he's handled the lack of personnel over the course of the season, he gets all the kudos for that. Mm-hmm. But I do think that, you know, a lot of this may be fixed by that. Like, we have not yet to see really the best version of Patrick Williams next to Nikola Vucevic to really see what that pairing in the front court really does. So he does get credit for that. He's handled this probably better than almost any other coach in the league would have. And I know people are going to listen and say, well, every team has had injuries over the course of the season, but we literally have been without for a team that doesn't have great one-on-one defenders. Mm-hmm. Every single one of our best one-on-one defenders, we've been out all season. Mm-hmm. That's major.
Yeah, these are three.
While really we play a big who requires having high level point of attack defenders, our entire system is built around having these players. And when you take all three of them out, you can't expect Vucevic to do anything except struggle. And he looks bad so often. I feel so bad for him because he wouldn't look that poor if he had that talent up front kind of protecting him.
Well, without that point of attack defense, I mean, he's being asked to guard two guys, basically, you know, going downhill, which is just it's impossible for most people. I mean, if you have like a, an Evan Mobley type or a Miles Turner type, maybe they have the athleticism, but he just doesn't have that. So
but we don't have to worry about it anymore, guys. We got Caruso back.
We do got Caruso.
Patrick Williams is looking at maybe coming back Friday, I think, is what I saw Johnson put out. So that's at Phoenix. We've got the guys coming back. Lonzo in a couple weeks. Good times are coming. Let's not be Debbie Downers now.
No. I am not, man. I'm high on this Bulls team. I think we were from the very beginning, Chase. That's where we won out over the big national pundits. But I think the biggest thing that Billy has going for him, though, is that Zach LaVine just loves him, man. Because this is from a quote from the early in March here on a WGN radio. Billy's the best coach in the world for me. I've got along with him more than any other coach I've had in my career. And I've had a good amount of them, he says with a laugh, which, of course, he has. He's had a lot of turnstiles as far as coaching goes. But we're talking about extending Zach LaVine this offseason. And I think, obviously he's here to stay, right, guys? I mean, you're not getting rid of Billy Donovan, even if we are first-round exit, right, Hayes?
Yeah. I think Billy has at least earned to see next season what he does with hopefully a better, you know, history of injuries over the course of next season. But, Billy, you don't look at – there's not many coaches that are at least on paper, an upgrade from Billy Donovan that are going to be available anytime soon. Now, if you find a diamond in the rough, all right, hats off to you there. But for, you know, Bulls, I understand Bulls fans are frustrated, but Billy Donovan doesn't need to go anywhere anytime soon. He has earned the right to be able to see this through and hopefully have better health next season as well. So,
yeah,
you mentioned diamond in the rough. Do you remember how excited you were when we found out we were getting Billy Donovan as our coach? I was so like, that was huge.
Never thought
as a Bulls fan. I was like, oh man,
never thought it.
We're contending now. Like, we're
and then the Bulls signed DeMar DeRozan, and you know, I just think like it's part of AK's plan to, like, you know, you have to make this place a desirable place to go. So you can't have a Jim Boylan as your coach. It's just not. Jim Boylan was not a player's coach. Billy Donovan is definitely a player's coach. Players want to play for him. He's got respect around the league. So it's like, you know, it was a great signing. Like, this is also our front office doing good work.
Can I throw something at you guys? Yes. All right. So I've asked this before. So after we signed Billy Donovan, Doc Rivers became available. Would you have rather had Doc Rivers as the coach of the Chicago Bulls than Billy Donovan? I say no. I know people get so caught up in he's from Chicago thing, but I like Billy Donovan on this team.
Yeah, I can't get it behind that, man. I like me some Doc Rivers, but I think Doc Rivers needs more of a season type of team. And this was a team that was coming together. Yeah. I like Billy Donovan more. You know, he had that young OKC team performing really well. So I like him more in this situation. What about you, Trey?
I'm not a big Doc Rivers fan.
Okay.
So no, I
so squash that.
I just think Billy Donovan is a much better coach, and I'd much rather have the much better coach.
Well, while we're giving Billy Donovan some kudos, stop giving your personal information to your ISP. On top of overcharging, your ISP is allowed to legally sell your browsing history to third-party advertisers for a ton of cash. Take your privacy back with ExpressVPN. Head to our special promotional link at expressvpn.com/hoopball. Yes, we are Sports Ethos. We used to be Hoopball, so it's still Hoopball. To get 3 bonus months on a 12-month subscription, it's super easy. Turning it on just takes one click, and it works great with streaming services like Netflix or sports packages like League Pass, too. Once more, that's expressvpn.com/hoopball. So go grab those 3 bonus months right now. It's really awesome. Last little subject we have here, Mr. Hayes, while we have you. Playoff picture here. Bulls sitting in 4th place right now, just a game ahead of the Boston Celtics. Man, they are 3rd in strength of schedule right now. So the Bulls have the 3rd worst strength of schedule. This is according to Tankathon, who's the one I use for strength of schedule. You can use others, but 3rd. And then the Bucks are 5th. The Boston Celtics are 6th. So, you know, we're kind of comparable to those guys. But you got the Philadelphia 76ers. They're 14th. You got the Cleveland Cavaliers. They have the 19th hardest schedule. You've got the Miami Heat. They have the 28th hardest schedule. And they're sitting in 1st right now. I don't know, man. Can the Bulls stave off Boston Celtics and the Cavs and stay in 4th, or are they going to slip a little further in the standings?
They may slip a little further initially, but I think as we get Patrick Williams, Lonzo Ball back, I really do think that this Bulls team is going to go on a nice tear to end the season. And then when you look at all the teams that you mentioned, we play in our last 5 out of our last 6 games against Miami, Milwaukee, Boston, and Charlotte. All playoff or play-in teams. Our last game is against Minnesota, but we also play Cleveland over the course of the next stretch and Milwaukee twice over that. So as we look for this team to improve, I do think that they can hold on. I don't know. I've speculated before that they can possibly get back up to 2nd, but I think they're going to stay around that 3 or 4 range, and I feel pretty confident in saying that.
Yeah, I know. I saw I heard you and Pat over there on Locked On talking about how they can maybe win 10 or 11 of these next games. And that was before the last game where we won, obviously. And I think you're right about that. I think that is definitely possible. Now, is it probable? I don't know. Trey, what do you think, man? Can they stave off Boston and Cleveland here?
I think they're rubbing off on you because that's the most optimistic I've ever heard you sound. You think they can win 10 or 11 of these next ones? I'm proud of you. I agree. Because I believe in this team, and I do think getting Patrick Williams back is going to be huge. Caruso, we saw the value he adds. And I think Zach is going – I don't think we're going to shut him down. So I think he's going to be playing. I don't think he's going to miss extended games. So I also expect the Bulls to be able to go on a run. And I don't know if they'll be able to pass Philly. I really think we're destined for a Bulls-Celtics 4-5 first round, you know, just slugfest. Just another classic series between the two.
See, I was a fan of the Bulls when the Elton Brand was their best player, man. Like, I can't be optimistic about the Bulls, man. I got to be pessimistic, and then when they do well, I'm really happy. That's how it works, man. That's how it goes. Now, I thought maybe 9-7 was probably, like, my high end there. I don't know if they can get 10 or 11 here. I think that's a tough ask. 8 of the 9 next games are for the Bulls are away. They're 16-16 down the road. The one question mark and the one, you know, factor that we have to factor in that we don't really know about is the Bulls, like Hayes said, they're getting healthy. And Trey mentioned, you know, obviously Patrick Williams coming back possibly on Friday, man, my fingers are crossed. But I think that's a huge get if they can. And hey, man, if those guys come back, if Lonzo Ball comes back in, you know, another week and a half or 2 weeks, and those guys are, you know, ready to hit the ground running and playing like they can play, then yeah, I think 10 or 11 games, that's definitely possible. That's definitely, I mean, I think the Bulls are going to be hitting their stride right as the playoffs start here. Now, there's also the possibility those guys come back. They've been out for a while with injuries, and they come back and they're not ready to hit the ground running, especially Patrick Williams, who's missed a lot of games in his first two seasons. So, you know, if that's the case, I don't know, man. So what do you think, Hayes? Let me put it to you like this. The Bulls end up being a fifth seed and get the Boston Celtics in the first round, so they're a 5-4. How do you think that series goes, man? Do you think the Bulls can pull out a victory in that series?
I do. The thing that worries me the most isn't even Patrick Williams, right? Because, you know, what he's going to be asked to do is mainly defense and take open shots confidently when he comes back, and I trust him to do that. He's not like they're going to run plays for him. The thing that the player that worries me the most is Lonzo, and only because it's a knee, so that lateral quickness, how much does that take away from his defense? Is he trusting that knee? All those things could go away in seeing him in two games, but that's kind of my biggest concern. But as far as Boston, I think the Bulls have more than enough when everybody's healthy to beat Boston. I'm not saying that we should necessarily be favored. I'm not saying it's going to be easy. It's probably going to go 6 or 7 games. But I do think the team has enough, and that is, it could be a great primer to really get everybody back together and on the same page to really go through that test. And don't overlook the power of Javonte Green possibly moving to the bench, bringing in off the bench defenders like Caruso, Io, Tristan Thompson, and Javonte Green all coming off the bench potentially for the Chicago Bulls.
That is nice.
No team is going to be able to rest defensively if you have those type of defenders coming off the bench. And I've always said Javonte can be more dangerous coming off the bench because he can play more positions. Javonte can guard between 2 to 4 in what he showed this season. So bringing that off the bench, it's going to make it really interesting, especially against a long team like Boston.
I would just love to have his energy off the bench, man. That'd be so fantastic. All right, Trey, man, what do you think? You're a Boston fanboy, so Trey and I had a little bit of a betting podcast before we started this Bulls podcast, and he was really on that Boston Celtics team.
I was the Celtics guy. He was the Hawks guy. But I think Lonzo is right. We need Lonzo back or Patrick Williams. We need one of the two because those are our two big defenders. And Tatum, I love Caruso, but I don't know. I think Tatum's just going to shoot over him. So to me, I think the key in that series would be having one of those two guys to be able to try and throw at Tatum. Because while I agree with Hayes, I think the Bulls have more than enough to win. Tatum, he's right on that superstar tier. And if he can take over a couple games, you know, that's all it takes in a 7-game series.
And I know you mentioned Trey before, and I think that's a good point, is, you know, the Bulls playing offense to the point, because our offense, man, like it's rolling right now, but it's not at the peak that it can be when we have Caruso, when we have Patrick Williams, especially when we have Lonzo Ball. I think Lonzo Ball opens up so much on the offensive side. I said this in our last episode with Will Gottlieb. Go back and listen to that if you haven't, but it's a great episode. But anyways, with Lonzo Ball, because when you create that spacing, because you have so much gravity when it comes to Zach LaVine and DeMar DeRozan, you got the defenses just giving so much attention to those two guys, and to a certain extent, Nikola Vucevic also. But when you have that happening, you got to capitalize on that space. And how did the Bulls capitalize on that space? They don't take a lot of threes. But you got Lonzo Ball, you add that to the mix, and this guy's taking 7, 8, 9, 10 three-pointers a game. And hitting at a very, very – he's hitting at a career-high rate and just absolutely demolishing people from long range. When you add that into the mix, I think that really opens up your offense. So, Trey, I know you've talked before about how Robert Williams, you know, the Celtics like to use him as kind of a free safety on defense, letting him guard the guy in the corner. When that guy in the corner is Patrick Williams or Nikola Vucevic, I mean, he can't really do that well, right?
If Patrick Williams still has that quick trigger that he was showing off at the beginning of the season, then I think he'll be able to shoot over time more trying to get back and help. But if he has the slower release that he had last season, then I think Time Lord's length and his ability to, his timing on blocks is just you know, one of the absolute best in the league. So I would be a little worried about that still, but that's why the Celtics have, you know, what, the best defense in the league, I think, right now. And Time Lord and Marcus Smart are both getting a little bit of underground buzz for that defensive player of the year talk now. So, I mean, it's going to be difficult to score on Time Lord regardless of who's out there.
I mean, Hayes is talking about our defense coming off the bench, but, man, the Celtics got Derek White, and they've got Marcus Smart, and they've got Robert Williams, and they've got Al Horford. Like, that's a good defensive team, man. Does that scare you at all?
It doesn't scare me, but I do think it doesn't scare me. But I'd be lying if I didn't say we need to look out for it, right, and see how it goes. I really think the thing that really in that Boston game, and not just to put it on one player, but like what team's bench not only brings the defense, but can also keep up the pace with scoring and force the issue is really going to dictate how easy that series is for either team.
I know I was looking at it recently. The Bulls are like 28th in bench scoring, but that's without, you know, we've had so many people injured through the year. When we are healthy, I haven't looked at that. I'm going to have to look at that when we're healthy, what our bench scoring was at, because it's got to be better than that. But man, Trey, I'm excited to do, because we're going to do a little bit of a preview here. If the Bulls do play the Celtics, I think we're going to do a preview about that. I think that's going to be our first one we're going to have to hit, man, to just talk about how that series would look if we do get them and see how that goes. But I think that's going to do it for us, fellas, man. That's going to be it. Quickly before we sign off, I want to also remind you all to use coupon code HOOPBALL20 at manscaped.com for 20% off your order and free shipping. And also check out our pals at mybookie.ag. Use code HOOPBALL on the third page to sign up to unlock deposit match bonuses there as well. Until next time, man, I am Keith Cork. You can find me on Twitter at BSBPKeith. Trey, where can the people find you, man?
On Twitter at FinalFinally.
And Hayes, thank you so much, man, for coming on the show, man. It was a blast, man. I've been a fan of yours for a while, so it was awesome to get you on here, man. Tell us all the things we can find you doing online and where we can find you.
Definitely. You can follow me personally. That's at CEO Hayes. That's CEO HAIZE. You can follow my podcast that started it all, Chicago Bulls Central, on both YouTube and Apple, Spotify, all the good normal podcast places. And then you can do the same for Locked on Bulls with the podcast that I do with Pat the Designer.
Awesome, man. And please don't forget to follow this show. Also, guys, if you are listening, at Ethos Bulls is our Twitter. But, man, no Bulls until next time. Let's get some Bulls.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.